Once again, we'd like to welcome Rodolfo and Nieves Castro. They're related to Anna. They have a ministry in Honduras, a school for children. They've had it for 23 years, and it was started by Stan Hanner, but they took it over 23 years ago and have been serving the Lord in Honduras. So let's remember to keep them in prayer, right? Happy New Year to you, everybody. I noticed people were going to different people, Happy New Year, Happy New Year. And I said, I'm going to try and save it so I can don't have to shake hands with everybody. I'm going to be reading from Acts chapter 7. El estudio hoy va a ser en Hechos capítulo 7. Si el Señor me da suficiente tiempo, a ver si se puedo completar el capítulo. We're going to be reading from Acts chapter 7. Lord willing, I'll be able to complete the chapter, and we'll see how it works out. Let's pray a moment. Oremos. Father, thank you, Lord, once again for the opportunity to share your word. Lord, I'm not a preacher, I'm not a teacher, but I love your word. And I just want to share what I can, Lord, and I pray that you'll prepare our hearts, make them fertile ground, Lord, that it might, as I speak, Lord, as I open my mouth, that it may be the Holy Spirit speaking through me, Lord. Padre, te pedimos en esta tarde que nos ayude, Señor, que nos toque nuestros corazones para recibir de tu palabra, Señor. Que todo sea hecho para tu gloria y honra. May this message, Lord, be the reading of your word. May it be for your glory and honor, Father. May the Lord Jesus Christ be glorified, in whose name we pray. Amen. Acts chapter 7, starting at verse 1. Then said the high priest, are these things so? It's an interesting way to start the chapter. But unless you remember what happened in chapter 6, where Stephen, maybe we should go back just a few verses. Vamos a empezar en el verso 9 del capítulo 6 para entender lo que el primer versículo quiere decir cuando el sacerdote le pregunta a Esteban si estas cosas son así. In verse 9 he says, then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, the Cyrenians, the Alexandrians, and all of them of Cilicia and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom of the Spirit by which he spoke. Then they suborned, which means they bribed men who said they have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up all the people and the elders, and the scribes came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses who said, this man ceases not to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and against the law. For we have heard him say, that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs of Moses that Moses delivered to us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. I find it interesting that they see his face as if the face of an angel. And yet they're accusing him falsely. So we know that he was being questioned as far as his sincerity. Now we could start at verse 7 once again, verse 1 of chapter 7. Then said the high priest, "Are these things so?" It's a question. Are these things that the people are saying so? That this man speaks blasphemous words against the Holy Spirit, a holy place, and the law? And that they heard him say that Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and change the custom of Moses delivered to us? This was the accusation. And that's what the high priest asking, are these things so? And notice how Stephen answers them. And he said, verse 2, and he said, "Men, brethren, and fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he dwelt in Haran, and said unto him, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, and come into the land which I'll show you. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. And from there, when his father died, he removed him into this land in which ye now dwell." Notice that it said he came out of the land of the Chaldeans. In verse 4, the Chaldeans were idol worshipers. So Abraham was the first one that God called to start the Jewish race. Verse 5, it says, "And he came, and he gave him no inheritance in it, in the land, not so much as to set his foot on, yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession, and to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child." God spoke in this way, that his seed should sojourn in a strange land, and that they should bring them into bondage and ill-treat them 400 years. "And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage, I will judge," said God. "And after that shall they come forth and serve me in this place." And he gave him, that is to Abraham, he gave Abraham a covenant of circumcision, so Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob begot the 12 patriarchs. Notice it says that he circumcised him the eighth day. Why the eighth day? Well, it seems that the people didn't know, and I didn't notice until somebody brought it to my attention also, that the eighth day is the day where a male child, gets the peak vitamin K. Vitamin K is a clogging agent. So Abraham begot Isaac and circumcised him on the eighth day. If you were to circumcise a child, even today, before the eighth day, the clotting factor, the vitamin K wouldn't be sufficient enough and the child would die. But today we have medications and we have vitamins, so if they circumcise a child today, they can give them the vitamin K and they won't bleed to death. Verse 9 says, and the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him. And we know the story of Joseph and his brothers, how they envied him. And they tried to kill him, but they ended up selling him, and he ended up in Egypt. It says, but God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Now we know that that happened because of the dream that Pharaoh had. Pharaoh had a dream about seven cows coming up out of the water. They were fat cows with lots of meat on them. And then there were seven ill cows, sick cows, skinny. And the skinny cows ate the fat cows. It's hard to understand how that can happen, but that's what happened. And Pharaoh didn't know what it meant when he had the dream. So he called his wise men, and the wise men couldn't answer. They couldn't give him an answer. So there was a servant there that said there was a young man that was in prison, and he called him. And the Pharaoh asked him, can you interpret this? And he said, I can't, but God can give you the answer. So he prayed, and when Pharaoh told him the dream, Joseph was able to tell him what it meant. Verse 10 again, and delivered him out of all his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And he made him governor over all the house of Egypt. Verse 11. Now there came a famine over all the land of Egypt and Canaan, and great afflictions, and our fathers found no sustenance. But when Jacob heard that there was grain, he sent our fathers first. There was grain because of, if we were to read, in fact, maybe we could go back to Genesis chapter 41. And we'll read a few verses. Genesis 41. Genesis 41, 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment, and came unto Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none to it who can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream and interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven cows, fat-fleshed and well-favored. and they fed on the meadow in a meadow. And behold, seven other cows came up after them, poor and very ill favored, and lean fleshed, such as I have never seen or saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored cows did eat up the first seven fat cows. And when they had eaten them, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored. And as at the beginning, so I awoke, and I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears of corn came up, full and good, and behold, seven ears of withered thin and blighted with the east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it unto me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Before we read any further, when I was reading this, I thought to myself, how is it that Pharaoh had these dreams of the seven good cows and the seven good corns and the seven bad cows, thin cows? And how they could eat the well ones. And in verse 25, it says that Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one, the dream. God has shown it, Pharaoh, has shown Pharaoh what it is he is about to do. This thing happened, as I understand it, so that God could show his power. It would seem to me that God is the one that gave Pharaoh the dreams in order to show his power. Verse 26 says, the seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one. Verse 27, and the seven thin ill-favored cows came up after them and are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blighted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh, what God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Verse 32 says, and for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. Once again, God is doing this for a reason. Verse 39 says, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. Thou shalt be over my house, and according to unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand and arrayed him with vesture of fine linen, and put a gold chain around his neck. And he made him to ride in the chariot, the second chariot, which he had. And they cried before him, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Huh. It seems that I missed the verse. Verse 9 back in chapter 7. Start back at verse 9 again. And the patriarchs moved with empty, sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his affliction and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And he made him governor over all the land of Egypt and all that his house and all of his house. Now there came a famine over all the land of Egypt and Canaan and great affliction, and our fathers found no sustenance. Verse 12, but when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent our fathers first. And at the second time, Joseph was made known to his father, to his brethren, and Joseph's kindred was made known unto Pharaoh. Then sent Joseph and called his father, Jacob, to him, and all his kindred, where there were 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. Notice this is still Stephen giving the history to the Sanhedrin. They asked him a question, and he's answering them with the history of how God started the Jewish family and what he did with them. Verse 16 says, We were carried over to Shechem and laid in the sepulcher that Abraham bought for a sum of money of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem. And when the time came, the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham. The people grew and multiplied in Egypt till another king arose who knew not Joseph. I find it interesting that the other king, the king that came after the first Pharaoh, didn't know Egypt. When nobody could do anything without Joseph giving his permission. So if Joseph had to give his permission for anything to be done, and all the land was fed, all the people were fed, how could he not know Joseph? It would be like me or some one of you coming into this chapel and being here for a long time and not know one of the elders or the elders of the chapel that you've been attending. So it says in verse 18, till another king arose who knew not Joseph. The same dealt craftily with our kindred and ill-treated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end they might not live. That was when this Pharaoh, because of all the people, because of the Israelites, had so many children, they multiplied and grew so much that the Pharaoh was afraid. He became afraid because there were more Jews than the Egyptians. So Pharaoh gave the order for all the boys, the male children, to be killed. Verse 20 says, in which time Moses was born. and was exceedingly fair, good looking, and nourished up in his father's house for 3 months. And when he was cast out, or when the mother put, the daughter put him, his sister, put him in the river, Pharaoh's daughter took up Moses, or took him up and nourished him as her own son. And she was the one that gave his name to Moses to him. And Moses was learned in all wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds. It reminds me of the Ten Commandments movies, where Charlton Heston was Moses, and he built all these mighty pyramids and statues. Well, he didn't build them. The slaves built them. But he was in charge of it. Now, I don't know if that's exactly what's said here in Scripture, but that's the way Hollywood portrayed it. Verse 23 says, and he was full. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. Once again, I think to myself, here Moses grows up learning the ways of the Egyptians. He's taught the Egyptian language, the Egyptian culture, everything that the Egyptians know and have is taught to Moses. And yet when he says he's 40 years old, it comes into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. How did he know that it was his brethren? If God, it must have been God that put this knowledge into Moses. Verse 24 says, and seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed, and smote the Egyptian. For he supposed that his brethren would have understood how that by God, by his hand, would deliver them. But they understood not. And the next day he showed himself to them as they strove, and would have set them at one against, saying, sirs, you are brethren, why do you do wrong to one another? And he that did his neighbor wrong thrust him away, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge over us? Will thou kill me as thou didst the Egyptian yesterday? And Moses fled. Then fled Moses at this saying, and was a sojourner or a foreigner in the land of Midian. And there he begot two sons. And when 40 years were expired, there appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai an angel of the Lord in a flame in a fire in a bush. And when Moses saw it, he wondered at the sight. And as he drew near to it to behold it, the voice of the Lord came to him, saying, I am the God of thy fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses trembled and dared not behold. Then said the Lord to him, put off thy shoes from thy feet, for the place where thou standest is holy ground. I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and I have heard of their groaning. And I am come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. So again here, Moses sees the bush burning and wants to get near it to see what's going on. But the Lord tells him, don't come near. And he tells him, I've seen the affliction of the Israelites, that they're suffering. This was prophesied that they would suffer for 400 years. It says, I have seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their groaning, and I'm come down to deliver them. And now come, I will send thee into Egypt. Verse 35, and this Moses whom they refused, this is the two that were fighting, refused to take Moses' advice or his counsel, whom they refused, saying, who made thee a ruler and a judge? The same did God send to be a ruler and a deliverer by the hand of an angel who appeared to him in a bush. He brought them out after he had shown wonders and signs in the land of Egypt and in the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. They were in the desert, roaming the desert for 40 years, according to what I've heard. It should have taken maybe 2 weeks to get from Egypt to the land that God had promised them. But instead of a two-week trip, it took them 40 years because of their disobedience. Verse 37. This is that Moses who said unto the children of Israel, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, a prophet like myself. Him shall ye hear. But they didn't listen to him either. It says, this is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him in Mount Sinai, and with our fathers, who received the living oracles to give unto us. Verse 39, whom our fathers would not obey, but thrust him from them, and in their hearts turned back again to Egypt, saying unto Aaron, make us gods to go before us. For this Moses, who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we know not what has become of him. This was the Israelites, after being brought out of Egypt, being in bondage 400 years. 400 years. They were in bondage. They were slaves to Egypt. 400 years. And now they're at a place where Moses goes up into the mountain to talk with God. And he was gone 40 days. And the people turn away. And they want to go back to their idol worship. I find it hard to understand. I know that they didn't become believers. Praise the Lord that there are those of us that the Father opens our eyes, like our brother Jacob was saying earlier, and he gives us the faith to believe and makes us his sons, his children. These people, God brought them out of Egypt, fed them in the desert with manna from heaven, and gave them water from a rock. I mean, think about that, to see water coming out of a rock when you're dying of thirst. To see this happen, and the one that's doing it is Moses, or God through Moses. So the people see what Moses is doing, and he did it for 40 years. Fed them for 40 years in the desert. And now 40 days have gone by where Moses went up to Mount Sinai to talk to God, to get the commandments. And they turn away from him. And they want Aaron. It says, and they made a calf. Verse 41, and they made a calf in those days and offered sacrifice unto the idol and rejoice in the work of their own hands. They rejoice in the work of their own hands. They made a calf out of the gold that, some of the gold that they had received from the Egyptians when they left Egypt. It amazes me. 40 days, Moses was gone, and they turn away from him. Verse 42 says, and God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, O ye house of Israel, have you offered to me slain beasts and sacrificed by the space of 40 years in the wilderness? Yea, you took up the tabernacle of Molech and the star of your God, Rephan, figures which you made to worship, and I will carry you away beyond Babylon. Verse 44, our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which also our fathers that came after brought in with Joshua into the possession of the nations, whom God drove out by the face of our fathers unto the day of David, who found favor before God and desired to build it, to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. David wanted to build a tabernacle for God, but God didn't allow it because he said his hands had blood on him. So Solomon built a house for him, the tabernacle. Nevertheless, 48, nevertheless, the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is a place of my rest? Again, I think about how God is so gracious. That bringing the people out of Egypt, being in bondage, again I say, for 400 years, and because of their disobedience, a two-week journey, a journey that would have taken normally 2 weeks from Egypt to the promised land, because of their disobedience, took them 40 years. And Moses goes up into the mountain, and for 40 days, and they say at the end of verse 40, well, we know not where he, what has become of him. And they make an idol. They worship an idol. A God who's brought them out of Egypt. I'm just amazed at what the people were like then, but then again, we are the same, aren't we? We're the same as the Israelites were. Well, I was before I got saved because I was in a religion. I mean, I didn't practice it the way it should have been practiced, But even if I would have, it wouldn't have done me any good. And I guess I might have done the same thing if I would have been brought out from where I was. In fact, I could say I truly was, because there were times when I would get into trouble and I would say, oh God, help me. And I would make promises to God, help me get out of this and I'll change. And he would get me out of the trouble. And I'm talking about serious troubles. And I would forget about him. I would forget about the promises I made. I don't even think it took 40 days. So I'm worse than the other people. Verse 50. Hath not my hand made all these things? You stiff neck and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Spirit, as your fathers did also. So do ye. Which of the prophets have not our fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, who showed before the coming of the Lord, of the Just One, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers. This is speaking of Jesus being killed. They had crucified him. Verse 53. Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed their teeth. They gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Once again, I think to myself, what kind of an answer did Stephen give the people, the Sanhedrin, when they asked him, are these things so? Did you say these things about Jesus? When he hadn't, he gave all of this history. And finally at verse 57, or 56, he says, and he said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. They stoned him. Just like he has said, in verse 52, which of the prophets have not our fathers, your fathers, persecuted and had slain them, who showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom you have now been the betrayers and murderers? All he was doing was telling them what the other prophets had said. And they cried out. They cast them out of the city. Verse 58. They cast them out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. We know that that's the apostle Saul. He watched over their clothes, of the people who were stoning Stephen. Verse 59 says, and they stoned Stephen, who was calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice. Before I read it, I'm going to say I couldn't do what he's going to say now. I don't think I'd be able to do it. It says, he kneeled down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Lay not this sin to their charge. They're stoning him. He's done nothing wrong. He healed people, just like Jesus. He did wonders, miracles, just like Jesus. But once again, just like Jesus said, if they did this to me, they're going to do it to you. So at the end, all he does is kneel down and cry out with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. I did a lot of reading today. I had a bunch of notes that I wanted to bring out, but I guess the Lord didn't want me to do it because I left all those notes home. So I just had to go from memory. But this chapter, I read it time and time again. And I kept saying, Lord, what's the message? What can I say to the folks at this chapel to make them, their lives change, to make them take note of what you're saying to us? And I just would come up with the same thing over and over. I don't see it. It's just a bunch of history. But then I would say to myself, Lord, you put it in your word. So there must be something there. And I pray that that all of us may be like Stephen. That even though we're stoned or spoken evil of, for standing up for the Lord, may we be able to say, Lord, lay not this charge against them. Forgive their sins, which is what Jesus said too. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Let's pray. Father, once again, I feel like I feel like I failed, Lord, at getting a message across, but it's not really me, Lord. It's you. And I felt, I feel like Moses, Lord, saying, when you told him to go to Moses, to Egypt, to bring your people out, he said he couldn't speak, Lord. He had no ability to speak. That's the way I feel, Lord. But Father, I've done my best. So I pray that you take, Lord, what I've read and put it into our hearts, Lord. May we be like Stephen. Not so much with the history of the Israelites, Lord, but to answer in a in a graceful way when we're accused of things. Help us, Lord, to answer with grace in our hearts when we're accused of things. And if we lose our job, our place in a position, or even friends that we have, Lord, or if we're spoken evil of, Lord, may we be able to say, lay not this sin against them, Lord. Forgive them. May we say something like that, Lord, no matter how much it hurts us, that we might do it with grace in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.